Like, guys, I'm still the same person. I just have a weird thing inside my leg and no hair, but otherwise, I'm pretty much me. Everyone, it's V buzzing in with a warm welcome to We're Not Done Yet. Whether you're navigating cancer or just cruising through life's ups and downs, I'm so happy you're here. This podcast is all about finding strength, laughing through the chaos, and supporting each other. Let's dive in and see where this journey takes us. What if one day you were told you had a 50-50 chance of survival? That's the premise of 50-50, a film that takes a unique approach to portraying cancer. If you haven't seen it yet, consider this your spoiler warning, because in this episode, we're diving. So let's get comfy and cozy. I say that because I'm recording from bed today, actually. And thank you all so much for joining me in this episode. Personally, I think there are a lot of good and relatable moments in this movie, especially emotionally. It really captures the complexities of relationships, humor, and coping. But at the same time, there are some aspects of cancer itself that just aren't portrayed accurately, or at least not the way many of us experience it. Now, granted, this movie was made in 2011, so things are different now in terms of treatment, public awareness, and even how we talk about cancer. Shockingly, guys, I'm a movie lover and I have not seen this one before. So I'm not gonna lie, it was a bit difficult to get through, but I really enjoyed it nonetheless. Still, let's talk about both the real and fictional elements of the movie and where it hits or misses. Once again, this is only my opinion and I don't speak for the entire cancer community, so I just want to make that very clear. Alright, so this movie opens up by showing the day-to-day life of the main character Adam, who's played by my childhood crush, not gonna lie, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. From the start, we get a small hint that something's off during his morning jog. He experiences back pain. It's subtle, but this is our first sign that something isn't right. A little further in, as we reach the first real dialogue, we see Adam talking with his best friend Kyle, played by the humorous Seth Rogen. Really like his character. He adds a lot of heartedness and ease to the situation. This is the first moment when Adam truly voices his concern about his back pain. There's some funny banter whether or not it could have been caused by some intimate activities between him and his girlfriend, but as the movie progresses, things take a little bit more of a serious turn. We soon see Adam sitting in a doctor's office waiting. Finally, the doctor comes in, but you guys, this doctor makes me so upset. Instead of offering any reassurance, he's cold and detached. He barely acknowledges Adam, shuffling through paperwork before pulling out a recorder and rattling off some medical jargon. Patient has been complaining of back pain and night sweats. Blood tests and urine analysis are normal. MRI suggests a massive schwannoma, neurofibrosarcoma, and so on. It's just like this complete word vomit of impersonal information. Adam, sitting right in front of him, completely confused and still acknowledged, finally has to interrupt, cutting through his word vomit to try and make sense of what is happening. And this scene right here alone, that I'm going to go further into, is probably one of my favorite scenes and most relatable scenes, because when I was first diagnosed, that's in a way what happened when my doctor told me that I had cancer. She was very cold, very distant, and just provided my mom and I with a lot of information that we had we didn't know what to do with. So like I said, Adam cuts the doctor off and asks for further explanation, clearly not understanding a lot of the medical terms. The doctor finally says malignant tumor, and Adam, still confused, responds with basically how that doesn't make sense because of his lifestyle choice. That's when the doctor goes into more detail, explaining how lifestyle choices don't really factor much into his cancer. He uses the word cancer, and at that moment, you can see Adam's face drop slightly. The word cancer seems to hang in the air as the scene fades out. The way they filmed that moment was so relatable. When you're given news like that, I feel like the words that follow just start to fade into fog. Everything after cancer becomes blurry. It just really captures how much weight the word cancer holds compared to malignant tumor. If you guys listened to my first episode where I talked about how I was diagnosed, I mentioned how I knew what malignant were and the word tumor, like I knew what those words meant, but it just didn't fully hit me until the doctor said cancer, and that's when it truly sinks in. And it was the same way for my mom, because again, we had just such a confused look on her face, like, what are you talking about? But when the word cancer comes out, it's just like a brick hits you right in the face. So let's go over so far what we know. This character has had back pain. He has a type of sarcoma that's rare, and his doctor is very insensitive. All of that, I do have to agree, is very relatable. I do have a type of sarcoma. I have osteosarcoma, and that's exactly how mine started. Now, his cancer is directly in his back. My cancer is in my leg, but when I started developing symptoms, it did start in my back, and I don't know how or what was going on, and we never really talked about it, but whatever the tumor was pressing against caused that pain to happen. To develop in my back. Going back to the doctor's insensitive way of delivering the news, I mentioned how it was very relatable, but I feel like there's so many doctors out there that will look at a human being as just research or something to experiment on. And it's very frustrating because we're not lab rats just to be tested on and poked at. And that's exactly how they'll treat us sometimes. So anyone feeling like that out there, please advocate for yourself. Please speak up. Let them know that, hey, you need to work on your bedside manner. I'm not another little experiment. I'm a human. And what you're saying is very stressful. So please give me that kind and sensitive delivery. Thank you very much. So moving further into the movie, we see Adam do something that pretty much all of us have done. Do not lie. You've done this. He Googles his cancer. And as expected, he immediately stumbles upon the survival rate, which tells him he has a 50-50 chance of making it. And just like that, boom, we have our movie title. Honestly, the scene is painfully relatable because let's be real, every cancer patient has done that late night deep dive into the internet only to come out questioning every life choice you've ever made. It's like WebMD, but with higher stakes. Now we get to the part where Adam starts telling the people closest to him that he has cancer. First up is his girlfriend. Oh, does she frustrate me? Who immediately jumps into the whole, I'm here for you, I got you, I'm not going anywhere act. But we'll circle back to that later. And then there's his best friend Kyle. The second Adam tells him, Kyle's immediate response is, oh my god, I'm gonna throw up. That part had me laughing so much because it instantly reminded me of my sister. That is exactly how she reacts anytime I give her bad news. Full panic mode, borderline dramatic, just like Seth Rogen's character. It's funny how in moments like these, sometimes the people around you are like a little bit more taken aback than you are, or just more shaken up than you are. And that's how a lot of the people he tells react. Lastly, he tells his parents. His mom, of course, immediately goes into full-on mom mode. Her coping mechanism is making him some tea, because apparently she read somewhere that tea can lessen your chances of getting cancer. That part also had me dying, because Adam just looks at her and goes, I already have it. That whole scene is so relatable. Moms are always the first to jump into nurturing mode, doing anything and everything they can to take care of us. And then there's the tea thing, which is honestly so real. There are so many people out there who swear by different remedies, and to each their own, but I can't even count how many times that someone has told me you shouldn't eat that, or you shouldn't try this, or this prevents cancer, and I'm just sitting there like, I already have it, like it's already in me, sorry, but hey, if tea fixes everything, I guess I should start drinking it by the gallon, and I don't know, maybe after this, I'll have me a cup. We then see Adam have his first meeting with Supportive Care, which is played by Anna Kendrick, and I love her character so much. I think she was the perfect person to play this role. But yes, Adam meets with her, and she begins the session just asking really how he's doing, and he responds that he is fine. His character says, I'm fine, very frequently through the movie, which I feel a lot of us can resonate with. There are so many times people will ask how you're doing when you're going through something very difficult, and unfortunately, it's so much easier to say I'm fine than to actually go down the long list of issues, anxiety, annoyance, anger, numbness that you're feeling, or sometimes you really just are fine and you wish that people would stop asking how you're doing, because the more they ask you, the more unfine you become. Eventually, Adam attends a small work party where everyone already knows about his diagnosis, and the awkwardness is palpable. The tension in the room is thick, and there is a montage of people asking or saying things that, in my opinion, you should never say to someone with cancer. Segment, we're going to talk about things that you should not say to someone with cancer. Number one, do not give unsolicited advice. Just don't. We have doctors for a reason. Do not ask someone with cancer if they're going to die. Seriously, I don't know what makes people think that's a smart thing to ask. And again, no unsolicited health advice. If I want to know about an all-kale diet that cured someone's cousin's friend's dog's mom's sister, I'll ask. And a big one, please, for the love of everything. Do not share your personal stories of losing a loved one to cancer. I know people mean well with this one, but letting someone with cancer know that your relative didn't survive is not comforting whatsoever. I'm really sorry for your loss, but trust me, that is not what we need to hear unless we specifically ask. Okay, thank you for that little segment. Going back, I actually do want to talk about inappropriate questions for a bit because when I first posted about my diagnosis on social media, people I had never met in person started asking me the wildest, most inappropriate things. Someone straight up asked if I was going to die. Never met this person, so like, why does it concern you? But I don't know what kind of response they're expecting. Technically, we all are going to die. I don't know. Anyways, there are just some things you don't ask. And this movie really captures that awkwardness perfectly, and I really feel for Adam in that scene. I found this party scene to also show a really good kind of like a metaphor that when you get diagnosed or when something really crappy happens to you in life and it's only affecting you and your family directly or just you, your life comes to a pause and everyone's life just continues because right after everyone just asked all these very inappropriate questions or gave all this advice, they continue to enjoy the party, whereas Adam is just standing there, kind of processing everything still. And I think that's just very important to realize because, or it's important for outsiders to realize because, again, you never know, or when you do know that someone is going through something, you'll never fully understand just how crappy it is. Because at any moment, you can turn away, or if you're watching it, you can pause it, or if you're reading about it, you can stop reading. There's always an out, but for someone who's actually going through that really crappy situation in life, they can't. They're in that situation until it's over, and so I really liked that scene for that reason. I want to actually get into the treatment part where Adam begins his first chemo treatment. His really amazing girlfriend, who's just so kind and so strong for sticking by his side, she takes him to his first appointment and she refuses to get down because, again, this is that whole thing where your life has to keep going through that horrible event that's happening to your life, whereas the people around you can choose when they don't want to be a part of it or when and when it shouldn't affect them. Because she literally tells him that she doesn't want this world, referring to the happy outside non-cancer world, to mix in with the cancer world. That part pissed me off so much, you guys. So there Adam goes into his first chemo alone, which sucks because I feel like everybody should go into chemo with someone because it is a big thing and you don't know how you're going to react. So it's nice to have someone there, a support system. But he goes in alone and he meets these two older men. They're these two elderly men who are also getting chemo. Now, like most movies and TV shows, they don't really show much about the chemo. I do that they go over the IV bag and it shows what type of chemo he's getting and that was like signed off by an actual doctor. Like the bag itself looks very realistic and the chemo he is getting is cytarabine, I believe is how it's pronounced. I've never personally received that chemo, but a lot of my friends have. And I do know that it is pretty strong and it does cause the really bad nausea. So as far as that, that's as much as I know about that chemo specifically. He's getting it, and I like that all the elderly men that are around him introduce themselves along with the cancer that they have. That is also very real. When you get to know someone in the cancer world, that is how you introduce yourself. It's like name, age, and what kind of cancer you have as an icebreaker. As much as I would like for that not to be the case or for me to not introduce myself like that, it's oftentimes how I still do. It's the easiest way to break the ice. Okay, so right after the scene where he meets his other cancer patients, we start to see that Adam's girlfriend begins to distance herself, which is something a lot of us can relate to who have gone through something life-altering. There's people around you that will stick around, and then others will shock you, and they'll start distancing themselves or removing themselves from your life. And you get to see who the real ones are in your life when you're going through something so critical. But yes, Adam's girlfriend begins distancing herself. She starts showing up late to his chemo appointments. Adam can't drive, by the way. He doesn't have his license. He's never driven a car. And he relies on his girlfriend to pick him up and drop him off to his appointments. And she ends up showing up really late. And that scene just made me so sad. And she's apologizing, but he's like, seriously, you forgot to pick me up. And like, you're feeling pretty crappy and crummy after chemo. So the only thing you want to do is go home and lay in bed and rest. And he has to wait out in the cold for her to get there. She starts to go to different... She goes and does her own thing. She's an artist and she has an art gallery, or she does showings at an art gallery. Sorry, she's not that cool to have her own art gallery. But yeah, one day she's there doing her show, or she's like looking at a show, I don't know. But Adam's best friend Kyle is there on a date, and he notices Adam's girlfriend there showing off some art or looking at some art. And she leans in to this guy that she's with and kisses him, and it's not Adam. So obviously she's cheating on him. And this scene is really funny. Kyle's kind of like putting on this facade to impress the girl he's with. And when he sees his best friend's girlfriend cheating on him, he like breaks that completely. I just found it really funny. But that scene just shows that a lot of people you think will stick around, they don't often stick around when you're going through something as difficult or you're struggling with something. So the last few scenes really set up the future ones, where he's re-entering the dating world after cancer. At this point, he is also bald. Let me just throw that in. And he even makes a funny joke about looking like Voldemort. Personally, I feel a little bit more like Caillou or Dobby, but moving on. It's such an interesting and relatable experience because of how people treat you. And honestly, it's hilarious seeing how people react when they see you for the first time after you've lost all your hair. Like, guys, I'm still the same person. I just have a weird thing inside my leg and no hair, but otherwise, I'm pretty much me. Anyway, going back to dating, there's that weird uncertainty of like, when do I tell someone I have cancer? Do I say it up front or just let them figure it out? Adam shows both approaches. One where he's a little bit too honest and literally goes up to a girl and just straight up says, I have cancer. And another where he just casually slips it in when he finally meets a girl that's listening to him. Or yeah, when she finally starts listening to him, he removes his hat very passively and shows like, I have no hair. It's such a real dilemma, and the movie captures that awkwardness perfectly. I've been in situations myself where I'm talking to someone I'm interested in, and I'm just like, should I mention it at first or should I not? Because you never know how the person's gonna react. But in my personal experience, I say it's best just to be upfront and not to like, don't hide it, because it's even more awkward, and I feel like it makes it a lot more challenging down the road after so many conversations to throw it in there. So my personal advice, just be upfront about it, embrace the baldness, embrace the awkwardness, and just say it. These scenes also highlight the challenges of intimacy. A lot of patients don't talk about this, mainly because they don't have to. Like, it's their privacy. But there's so many factors that can affect a person's intimate life when they have cancer. Not only can the medications lower a person's libido, but also, for example, in Adam's case, his tumor causes pain. So he can't do anything physical because that pain or certain movements will intensify that pain. There's also just the pure fact that some medications you can't be sexually active. There's so many different factors that play into, again, a person's intimate lifestyle when they're going through cancer. And this is one area I feel a movie will not be entirely accurate, or it will feel very inaccurate. The cancer experience is completely different for every single person, but this is one area I feel that it is, like, people have the biggest difference because there's just so many different factors that play in. And a person may have a high sex drive and another person may have a very low sex drive. Again, it just all depends. That's why on the intimacy topic, I don't have much of an opinion on with the movie, because again, it's just different for everyone. Before diving into some bigger parts and the ending, I want to do a quick flash round of moments I liked in 50-50 in order. One scene that stood out to me is when Adam gets a ride from his therapist. He's really going through it, and instead of focusing on his emotions, he starts pointing out how messy her car is. Eventually, he asks her to pull over. She thinks he's about to throw up, but instead, he just starts cleaning out her car and throwing stuff in a nearby dumpster. I really related to this scene because I went through something similar. When I was overwhelmed with all the news I was receiving, I'd hyperfixate on little tasks. Looking back, I think it was a coping mechanism because I knew I couldn't control what was happening to my body, so instead I focused on controlling the small things. That scene captured that feeling perfectly. At one point, Adam's ex-girlfriend comes back to pick up some things she left behind. Adam's hat is off, but as soon as she walks in, he quickly puts it back on. The tiny detail hit me so hard because it shows a real moment, how many of us instinctively hide parts of ourselves around people we're not comfortable with or those we fear could hurt us. Again, that's something that I did a lot, and I just recently got over and embraced not wearing something to cover my head, no matter who I was around. I just wanted to scream through the freaking television and say, no, babe, take that hat off, screw her. It made me feel so much empathy for him in that moment. All right, Now we're going to get into some more emotional bits. Feel free to skip ahead or grab a box of tissues because we are going to get a little bit deep here and I don't know, I may shed a tear or two. So the first moment we come across towards the end is when Adam loses one of his friends. They don't really explain what happened, but Adam is left just really confused because his friend was doing completely fine one moment. I've had a similar experience, unfortunately. I've lost a few friends who were doing perfectly fine one minute, and then the next, everything started going downhill, and they were gone before I even knew it. I was waiting for a friend to get out of a hospital, and unfortunately, that just never happened. It really shows how quickly things can change, and it makes you realize how important it is to enjoy the moments. After that, Adam gets the news that his cancer is becoming more aggressive, and they're not sure if the surgery he's about to undergo will work. Adam becomes pretty convinced that he's going to die, so he starts shutting down mentally and emotionally, as many of us would. One night, he goes out with his friend Kyle, and Kyle offers to let Adam drive his car. Actually, he doesn't really offer him. Adam asks and pulls the cancer card and he lets him go. Even though, as we know, Adam doesn't have his license and doesn't know how to drive, he drives recklessly until Kyle convinces him or really yells at him to stop. Then Adam has a meltdown, freaking out in the car, screaming, and that broke my heart, you guys. That's where I started crying because when you get some pretty terrible news and realize something's completely out of your control and you just want it to be done because you've fought so hard, at that point, all you can do is yell and scream and punch the steering wheel or punch the wall. I don't know. That scene really got to me. I forgot to mention that before he received the news, he's getting a scan, and I feel like a lot of us get scan anxiety. And I just wanted to cover that really quick because for those of y'all who don't know what scan anxiety is, it's just what the name means. It's right before you're going to get a new scan. You have all that anxiety built up because you don't know what's going to come out in it. And I honestly did not have that until the reoccurrence of my cancer came, that now every single scan I get after, I'm just terrified that there's going to show some new growth or something that shouldn't be there. And they do briefly show that, but it's just not highlighted. And your average viewer or non-cancer viewer, I feel like, would not pick up on that. But I just want to mention it because I appreciated that. And there's very little, like, minimal things that a lot of, like, the normal viewer wouldn't understand that a cancer patient can appreciate while watching. At the end of the movie, Adam is undergoing his surgery, and there's all this anticipation about whether or not he's going to make it. Eventually, the doctors come out and tell his family that he's going to pull through, but it's going to be a long road to recovery. Then the movie cuts to a bit of the future showing Adam with a big scar that's still healing, and his hair is starting to grow back, and he's getting ready for a date. I found this ending really sweet and uplifting, especially because in a lot of movies about cancer, the patient doesn't make it. It creates this really, really unfortunate assumption that anyone with cancer is going to die, but that's not the case. Many people survive and are thriving right now. I know personally a lot of people who are thriving, and when I say thriving, like, they're doing really well in life. So I really appreciate that they didn't kill off Adam's character. However, one thing I think this movie, like so many others, miss is showing the reality that life doesn't magically go back to normal once you're cancer-free. There's so much more after that, and recovery can be its own challenge. And of course, it is a movie, but I feel like that's just an important thing to throw in there. Overall, I really enjoyed this movie, and I recommend it if you haven't seen it. If you're a fighter yourself, maybe give yourself some time to prepare for it, but still, it's definitely worth watching. Thank you all so much for tuning into today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to reach out to me and let me know your thoughts. My socials will be in the episode notes. Thank you again. And remember, no matter where you're at in life, you guys, life's not a straight line. Sometimes it's a bit wobbly, but that's what makes it interesting. I love you guys so much. Have a good one.